Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, March the 3rd. What am I saying? March the 3rd. I got my dates wrong. Thursday, March the 3rd. And today we're going to talk a little bit with our good friend George Rodriguez. We're going to talk about the Texas primary on the 1st. Some interesting things that happened on that day. The turnout was not the best. It was about 18%. But that's been consistent now for several primaries. There was a difference between the turnout of Republicans and Democrats, and clearly favoring the Republicans. And then we'll talk about the governor's race, the attorney general's race, and probably the most interesting of all the runoffs coming up, and that's down in South Texas in Georgia's territory between incumbent Henry Cuellar, a challenger from the left, a lady by the name of Cisneros. I think that is going to be very interesting. So let's say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. How are you, George?
Real good. Thank you very much. How are you?
Good. How's the weather in San Antonio?
It is really pretty. It is a beautiful day. It's almost 80 degrees. Humidity is low. And it's really a spectacular day compared to a few days ago when it was 30 degrees and cold and rainy and nasty. It's completely 100% different, and it's beautiful.
You know, our parents used to call that a Chamber of Commerce Day.
Yes.
Remember that?
And that's whenever, what it is.
when it was beautiful, they would say Chamber of Commerce Day. Well, it's very nice up here too, by the way. It's in the 70s. It's lovely. And we had some cold weather, but it looks like we're going to get rain on the weekend, but that's what I understand. Well, George, let's talk about this fascinating primary. Something that I have to say, I didn't remember this or should have known this, is that we're the first primary, Texas.
Yeah.
And I honestly never thought about that before, but because last time around in 2020, there were some other primaries in March, if you remember. But so we're the first one, so we have the honor of counting the votes first, although they didn't do a good job of counting the votes in Harris County. You know how that turned out.
Are they still counting them? I hadn't looked. I know that they were still counting them as of yesterday, but, you know, late yesterday. I'm not sure that they're, you know, what's still going on.
Well, I think the question for the Democrats and I guess whoever runs Harris County, I think it's primarily Democrats. The question for them is how can you screw it up so badly?
Yeah.
The rest of the state had no problems.
Yep.
But Harris County apparently got everything wrong. So we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it was just a bad day in Harris County. Maybe they're angry. Maybe they're angry that the Astros are going to cancel their first series or something. But I'm telling you, they messed it up big time in Harris County. Well, let's talk a little bit about the governor's race and your impression of that. Give me your impression, and then we'll get into the numbers, George.
Well, I expected him to win. I definitely expected Governor Abbott to win. I did not expect it to be that big of a runaway. I definitely thought that one of the challengers, particularly Hoffines, would get him into a possible runoff, and you know, that was not the case. I mean, it was over quick. And early, and of course, there's a lot of grumbling and griping going on by both of the defeated camps as to, you know, that there's questionable this and there's questionable that. The only thing that's questionable is that they couldn't really compete with an incumbent governor that, in my opinion, has not done a bad job. I mean, he has not done a bad job. He, you know, maybe they could, there could be more that he could have done with legislation. Maybe that he could have done more with the border. But the fact of the matter is that in many cases, his hands are tied on the border. In other cases, the legislation was, in my opinion, a little faulty. And definitely the politics being played by some folks has not been accurate, has not been truthful, has not been has not been really factual, and you know, they ran up against somebody who's got a tremendous popularity in Texas, and I really thought that they had a little bit better of a chance, but they got run over. They became roadkill.
They did, and I was expecting Abbott to win also with about 55% of the vote. That's what I thought it was going to be, about 55%, something like that. And it turned out to be obviously a runaway, like you say, 68%.
It was over quick. I mean, it was over early quick, and quick.
It was over very quickly, you're right. And the interesting thing is that Abbott got like 1.3 million votes of the total almost 1.9 million that voted. So he got 68%, which is a pretty good number. Now, on the Democrat side, Beto O'Rourke got 92% or 93% of the Democrat vote. But, you know, the overall party vote was clearly more Republican than Democrat. And I've heard, and I don't know if you can confirm this, but I've heard that for every two Republicans, one Democrat voted. It was almost like 2-1 across the state. Have you heard that, George?
Yeah, and that was something that we discussed on this show before. Clearly, the Democrats are going to have a very difficult time in exciting their base. They're having a very, very difficult time in attracting independents. I mean, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to attract any independents. Consequently, the only people that are going to that are going to participate, or they're participated in this runoff that pulled the lever for Beto, were people who are rabidly Democrat, and they're probably going to be the only ones that will end up in that column come November. You've got you've got some extreme challenges to the Democratic Party at the gas pump. I filled up my truck a week ago, and it cost me $90. Mm-hmm. I filled it up 1 week later, and it was $120. Now, you know,
that'll kill you if you're the incumbent.
Really, you go to the grocery store. Everything is so high. It is not good. It is not a good year for Democrats to be running.
Right.
And, consequently, I think that they had a difficult time getting people out to vote in a primary anyway. You know,
right.
I mean, it doesn't really matter to them. But then secondly, I think that to the Republicans, they were out because they all want to push a candidate that's going to win big in November. So there was much more excitement on the Republican side.
Yeah, the enthusiasm gap, as they like to call it, was pretty big in favor of the Republicans, no question about that. Now, when you get over to the Attorney General's race, that's the one that, you know, we were getting, my goodness, the radio ads, the television ads were very intense. I'm assuming the same down there. And it ended up being Paxton with 42, Bush, I think, 27, and then the others. So to me, it's going to be a runoff between the Attorney General and George Bush. So the question is, you know, right now that would be 42-27. That's the way those numbers came out. So the question is, what happens with Guzman and with Gohmert, who they endorse? Because, you know, hypothetically, if, let's say, they were to endorse George Bush, Bush would then go over Paxton in terms of potentially in terms of numbers and be almost at 50%. But if
I don't think that's going to happen.
Who are you hearing that they're going to endorse? Guzman
well,
and
Gohmert? Definitely the Gohmert people are angry, and they're very, very, motivated for whatever reason to beat Paxton. So they probably will go to Paxton. However, the battle between Bush and Eva Guzman was nasty. Was really, really nasty.
It was.
I mean, it was bruising. He had some very, very strong, very, very strong ads running directly against her. And so from what I hear, they're, either they're going to sit it out or they're going to go with Paxton. And but they will not go with
Bush.
With Bush at all. So I think that the edge has got to go to Paxton.
Yeah, well, I mean, if those two endorse Paxton directly or indirectly, then yes, the advantage goes to Paxton because he's already at 42.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to, all he needs is another 10 points and he's in.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need, as there was a political analyst up here who was saying that, 58% of Republican voters did not select the attorney general, and that's a big number.
It is a big number.
Yeah.
He's ignoring the fact that within that big number, there were big differences.
I know. But the only question I have, George, is let's say Guzman and Gohmer, the ads that they were running, Gohmer was on the radio constantly up here. And he was basically saying that the attorney general had too many ethical problems, that he would be a gift to the Democrats if he were to be nominated. So how do you go? I know that politics is the game of imagination, but how do you go from saying that to endorsing? So my theory, tell me what you think of my theory. I think they're both going to say, we're just going to free our voters to do whatever they want. And then the voters will surprise us on runoff day, George.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably will set it out. That would be the ethical thing, I guess, for them to do. I just don't, I think that Louis, first of all, has too strong of a character, and I don't think that he's going to sit it out. I think he is going to, endorse somebody. I am not sure that he will endorse George Bush because he's had problems with the Bush family. So I'm not sure about that. Definitely, I just can't see Eva going with Bush. I just can't see that.
So what you're saying, I think you agree maybe with what I say, what I just said, that they're not going to endorse they'll just kind of tell their voters, look, you guys make up your mind. And
you guys go do what you need.
What you need to do, which in that case, of course, that would favor the attorney general. Now, of course, the arguments that we kept hearing on the radio from Eva Guzman and from Representative Gohmer and also from George Bush was that there would be all kinds of ethical surprises. The argument being, my gosh, if any of this stuff comes out during the campaign, we could end up with a Democrat attorney general. That's kind of the argument that they're making. So far, frankly, I have not seen the evidence. There's a lot of smoke. Everybody keeps talking about all this stuff, but I keep looking.
And again, it's allegations versus reality. Okay, now the Democrats could scream and yell about allegations, but on the other hand, you've got the attorney general, who has most recently filed another lawsuit against the Biden administration regarding the border, regarding the issue of fentanyl coming in, regarding the issue of illegal voting, he's filed almost a dozen very, very strong lawsuits against against the federal government, and he's won already. He has already won at least six of them. So, when you look at his track record, it's going to be very, very difficult.
No, I agree. I love his track record. I love his track record. He's been an excellent attorney general, but the argument is always, what if? And,
what if they investigate, Hillary? Yeah.
Right, exactly. Or what if the investigation doesn't show anything legally wrong? So, but that's been the argument. And my guess is that's what the runoff is going to be all about. Because if you listen to George Bush talk about the border wall or the general policies, I don't see that many differences, George, between what Bush was saying and Paxton was saying. I mean, it seems like they were all basically saying the same thing. The only difference is that Bush and Guzman and Gohmert were saying, hey, look at the smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire. That's all that I kept hearing, George.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, let's talk about perhaps the most interesting race of the night. There were many others throughout the state, but I think this one is the one that's getting a lot of national attention. And that's the one down in on the border. I forgot the number. I think it's District 28,
District 28.
The border between the incumbent, Henry Cuellar, and a, I think her name is, what is her first name? Cisneros?
Jessica Cisneros.
And she is from the AOC wing of the party, and AOC was down here and campaigned for her. And that turned out to be a little closer than I suppose Cuellar thought it would be. And that's going to a runoff. Now, right now it's 48-46, I think. That's how it came down with Cuellar at 48. But there is another candidate there that got like 4 points. And who is that? Because that could very well decide the race, who that candidate endorses. Is that candidate left or right? Do you know, Jordan?
That candidate is a libertarian.
Oh, okay.
So I would call them more right than Jessica Cisneros.
More likely to maybe support Cuellar.
Correct.
Perhaps, or at least stay out of it, and those voters. So that's a libertarian. I didn't realize the libertarians were that strong down there. That libertarian got 4% of the vote.
Yeah, well, this is good. This individual is kind of new.
Okay.
You know, there are some very, very big libertarians that have a lot of libertarians that have popped up since the Trump years.
Yes.
They divorced themselves completely from the Democrats. They support, these libertarians support an open border, but they don't support welfare.
Right.
You know, they want people to come in, but they don't want to support them, which is very, very interesting, you know, in that aspect of it. They want open trade. They don't want labor unions.
I'm not sure they want traffic lights, Jordan.
Well, yeah, you know, so it's
they're very unique. They have a very unique point of view. But I mean, look, I've had discussions with libertarians, and they're very interesting people. And the one thing I can tell you about libertarians is they don't like a lot of government spending.
That's right.
You know, if they have to
so choose, I'm not sure that Jessica is going to be there.
Well, that's it.
There was a great deal of there was a very, very strong reaction to how well she did.
Well, remember on election night, like at about 9:30, I'm coming out of my class about 9:30, and I look at my iPhone, and you know, no surprises. And then I get down to that election, and I call you on the phone, if you remember. And I said, George, is this real? Could this actually be happening? Because at one point, she was up like by 4 points.
Yeah.
And it looked like she was going to get in.
Well,
but then
she was celebrating early.
Right.
Early in the evening, right after the polls began to close, she was celebrating. She thought she was going to run away with it.
Right. Well, it looked that way at 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night. That's what it looked
because
like.
They closed it a little bit. They were counting the – they counted the – I mean, she took – She won big in San Antonio, and she won big in Laredo. She won big again around among young Hispanics. She won big among college students, and this is one of the favorite ploys of these Democrat socialists. They organize really, really heavily around the colleges and universities, which is what they did here.
Right.
There are three big colleges or two big colleges in South San Antonio, University of Texas A&M in San Antonio, and then, of course, UTSA, which is also in part of his district. Then in Laredo, you've got UTSA Laredo and Laredo Community College. They organized big time around these folks, and they rallied them. They got them excited. That's where the majority of her strength was. Mm-hmm. She lost big in the rural areas.
Right.
She
almost saved him. You know, that's what saved him. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, when those votes started coming in, I'm sure they favored Cuellar a lot more. A couple of other points, George. There's a story in the Dallas Morning News today that the Republican turnout was very strong in South Texas. And it led the governor to say that we're going to carry the Hispanic vote. You know, before this primary, George, I thought that was maybe not necessarily a pipe dream, but maybe not a reality. But after this primary, but after this primary, I would not be surprised at all if Abbott gets 50% or maybe even more.
I guarantee that this coming, barring something terrible, and I am not sure what that would have to be. Yeah. But barring something terrible, the Hispanic vote is lost to the Democrats.
Right. No, I think you're right. And we've been talking about this, as you know. We've been talking about this for some time, but it's now beginning to crystallize. Now, I thought the most interesting, wrapping up this primary conversation, I thought the most interesting thing of the whole night, George, was watching the two, you know, Governor Abbott and Beto O'Rourke celebrating their victories, you know. And you have Governor Abbott talking about, you know, job creation and how Texas is booming, the ninth economy in the world, you know, the usual things that he's been saying. And then when I turned over to Beto, he's talking about the power grid. I mean, that's all he talks about. That's the only issue he has.
And
I think some
of it. Again, Silvio, the power grid can be punched full of holes by the gas pump.
That's right. Well, that's true too, and that's another interesting problem too, because not only is gasoline going to be up pretty high this summer with our heat, and the people who travel, people forget that there's a lot of distances in Texas. I mean, you can travel 250 miles, 300 miles quite quickly here because of distances
in the rural areas.
But I mean, from Dallas to San Antonio is 300 miles. I mean, I've done it several times. But the other thing, too, is when we get the summer heat, these electric bills could really, really go up if we don't take control of this situation. But I just thought it was such an interesting contrast to see the governor talking about how Texas is creating jobs and attracting businesses. And over here, Beto was talking about how the lights went out a year ago. And I just, to me, at least to me, I think that said it all. I don't know what else. What else is he going to talk about? He talks in these general refrains, you know, about making everybody.
Platitudes.
Yeah, exactly. But I just don't think it registers. I mean, what you were mentioning before about the college student, that was what they did very well. The Beto campaign back in 2018 when he ran for the Senate, that's one of the things that they did. But he also had a lot more money back then than I think he's going to have now.
Well, you know, and again, he's going to, you know, he's going to play on free college for everyone. He's going to play on free Medicare for everyone. And that all sounds very, very good, a very, very good idea. But the reality is when you go to the grocery store and you see some empty shelves, when you go to the gas pump and you fill up, when you hear what's going on in Ukraine, or the crime rate continuing to go up here in San Antonio last week. There was a story, and again, the media is being very, very careful how they do it because the media is still to the left. It doesn't matter what you say. But there was a story of a two-time offender. He was both a child molester and an elderly abuser who had been bailed out. His bail had been reduced by a Democrat DA. He was bailed out by the Texas Organizing Project, which is a Saul Alinsky group in Dallas and San Antonio and Houston. And the head or on the board of the TOPS of the Texas Organizing Project, on their board is the mother of the Castros. And so, you know, all of this was linked together. I mean, how is that a good platform for running a campaign?
That's right. And the other thing, too, and I saw this in one of the one of the segments that was run by one of the national networks. They were talking about how so many of the Border Patrol and so much law enforcement people in South Texas are Hispanics.
Exactly.
So, I mean, so when you attack the Border Patrol, when you attack the police, now they're back.
Defund them. Yeah.
Yeah. They're backing down on that, but it's a little too late. It's a little too late for that.
Well,
they're playing.
But not only are they backing down, you also have the AOC,
right,
Jessica Cisneros group that came back with a rebuttal to the rebuttal.
Exactly.
And they jumped on Biden for saying that.
That's right. And that's what I saw happen in Texas a little bit. First of all, what was interesting to me is the number of incumbents who didn't have opposition of the other party. So that kind of confirms that these maps that we just drew up were pretty good for incumbents, because there were a lot of incumbents who just basically
since ran. Everyone was in charge. Of course.
Exactly. Exactly. So most of the incumbents ran unopposed. But the whole question of, you know, I think something that we'll have to keep an eye on as we do these broadcasts is how far is AOC and Cisneros and this, you know, fellow who was elected in Austin.
Greg Kassar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How far are they going to push the party to the left, to the point that push them so far to the left
that
they go out of the territory? I mean, they're
exactly
so far to the left.
I mean, this is Texas. This is not California or New York.
Exactly. And even among Democrats, as I try to explain to a lot of people, that even among Democrats, the Democrats in Texas are different than the ones in other states. They're a lot more conservative. You go down to the rural areas. They believe in the Second Amendment. They're very religious, as you know. And, you know, they watch somebody like that and they go, wait a minute, that's not the party that my father or my grandfather used to vote for. I mean, that's what their reaction is going to be.
You know, we have cultural Democrats rather than political Democrats. The political Democrats are the ones that have become rabid socialists now.
That's right.
We have these cultural Democrats that, you know, supported, that love LBJ and that love JFK and, you know, and everything that JFK stood for.
Right.
Well, I guarantee that JFK would not be welcomed.
No. No, he wouldn't. I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure that Jimmy Carter. I know Jimmy Carter. I know he's an old man right now in Georgia. But when he ran, he was a lot more conservative.
Yeah.
He was in a way very. Even Dukakis ran on the idea that he was an efficient man that would run things well. So that's why I continue to say that many of these Democrats, you know, the Hispanic Democrats, they look at these guys on TV and say, that's not the party that my father or my grandfather supported. I mean, that's a totally different party. Well, George, I want to thank you as always for your time. We'll do more of these as the year unfolds. But I think on balance, it was a good day for the Republicans. That's how I would put it. How would you feel?
Definitely. It was a very, very, it was a very, very good day, and it is something that pertains. It's going to be a great year.
That's right. No, I think you're right. I think it's going to be a great 2022 for. I think you and I will have a smile on election night. You think so?
I believe
okay.
so.
All right, George. Thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful day.
Thank
and
you,
we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you soon. Have a wonderful day. And thank you so much.
Have a good one. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll be back. We'll be back with George probably in about a week or so after we digest more of these numbers. But I think overall, as George was saying, it was a good day for the Republican Party. All you got to do is look at the numbers. And the numbers were clearly good for the party. Have a great day and talk to you later.